Father, we thank you for the chance to pray to you this morning and, Lord, to call out to you and trust you. And Lord, thank you for being our Savior and our Lord. And, Lord, thank you for this special time of the year to celebrate you being with us. And so, Lord, now as we come and worship and listen to your word, we'd not do it as though we're here alone, but as though we've gathered in your presence as a part of your family, a called meeting with your family, Lord. And thank you for that opportunity. Now speak to us from your word, in Jesus' name, amen.
All right, guys. Well, good morning. Is anybody here for the first time visiting? Doesn't look like it. Well, maybe. Sir, what's your name? Harry? Hey, Warden. Well, welcome. We're glad you're here. I wanted to just share from my heart a little bit this morning, and last week at the whoever was here last week for the sermon, it touched my heart for sure, and in many different ways. And I'm sure Pastor Joe had a plan and a purpose for his sermon, and whether I received exactly what it was or not, I'm not sure, but I definitely received something that the Lord had for me, and I hope it's been on my heart throughout the course of the week. And so I just want to share a little bit about that, and maybe it'll God will use it and encourage you as well. So let me start by just sharing some scripture with you, and this has to do with what Pastor Joe talked about last week that touched me was very high level of just a question that I think that everybody has at different points in their journey of Christianity, or even not even Christianity. But here's the question: why am I here? Has anybody ever had that question roll through your mind? Why am I here? You know, why am I? Why was I created? You know, at a certain point in your journey, you start formulating these thoughts of creation or evolution, and you head down this road of just being here, and then at some point the question comes up, why? Right? And that's a big question. And I've heard formal answers, and I've read formal answers, and I've formulated my own thoughts around that based on God's word and pastors in my life and different things, and certainly prayer and the Holy Spirit. And so, but it seems like that's kind of something that just continues to, at different points in time, something's presented to me, or I read something in God's Word, and it just continues to kind of lock itself in a little further as to why I'm here, why we're here as believers. And so that those are some of the things that I wanted to just talk about a little bit of from the sermon last week and just some of my thoughts. So let me share some scripture with you that's coming from the Westminster Catechism. Okay, what is the chief end of man? That's a pretty good place to start as far as just looking for answers to that question, right? What is the chief end of man? In other words, what's the purpose of man? Why'd you build man? Why'd you create man, God? And the Westminster Catechism says a man's chief end, or you could kind of say a man's purpose, right, is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Okay, and then there's scripture that is cited that backs that up. So it's not just somebody's idea, but as theologians and as people through centuries have gone through God's word and said, why is that so? Let me just read some scripture to you and see if it, just listen to God's word. Psalm 86, verses 8 through 13. There's none like you among the gods, O Lord, nor are there any works like yours. All the nations you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name. For you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. I give thanks to you, O Lord, my God, with my whole heart, and I will glorify your name forever. For great is your steadfast love towards me. You have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol. Okay, Isaiah 60, verse 21 says, Your people shall be righteous. They shall possess the land forever. The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I might be glorified, or that I might display my beauty. Romans 11:36 says, "For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever." Amen. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, "For you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body." 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." Revelation 4:11 says, Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. And here's a couple in regards to joy and enjoying God. Psalm 16:5-11. "The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel in the night, and also my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is my right hand, and I shall not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad, and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure, for you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy, at your right hand and pleasures forevermore." Psalms 144:15 says, "Blessed are the people to whom such blessed. Blessed are the people whose God is the Lord." Isaiah 12:2 says, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation." A couple last ones. Luke 2:10. "And the angel said to them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." And then lastly, Revelation 21:3-4 says, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling place of God with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away." Okay, so there's some scriptures that back up the fact that our purpose is to glorify God and to enjoy God. Okay, so this glorifying thing. Okay, think about the word glorifying. This is a word that I've struggled with in understanding, and part of the sermon last week helped me understand the word a little better. Okay, so let's just think of some examples here on earth, here in our daily life as humans in the flesh, where we could take the word glory and say, okay, I get it. So all I want to do is just talk about some examples. And I think a good place to start, and maybe even a place that I feel like God intentionally built into us, is our five senses. Right? When we think about our senses, we see things, right? We hear things, we taste things, we touch things, we smell things. And that's how we take input, right? We get input from our surroundings. And just think about why did God have to give us these five senses? Or is part of that a foretaste for just being able to take in and bring and understand glory? So let's just look at a couple. Okay, sight. What you see. Okay, think, and what I'm asking you to think through is times in your life where you've gone, wow. And you've gloried in something. Okay? Where you've had a kind of a stop the moment, you know, wait a second, this is incredible kind of a moment. Okay, so sight, let's think of some things. Nature, water, okay, just water in general. Sometimes I look at I see the rain and I start thinking about water. And it struck me not long ago, we've got a little well down the street where we can fill up our jugs with fresh well water. It's just a little family that has a well and they let anybody pull up and fill up their jugs. And I went over there and Michelle sent me with a handful of jugs and I went over and pulled the deal up and stuck it under there and pulled up the well handle and water just started coming out. And I filled it up, and then I filled up another one, I filled up another one, and I put it back in the car, and I was driving back to the house, and I got to thinking, that's incredible. It's like, just imagine an orange, and you took a straw and just stuck a straw down in the middle of an orange and sucked out orange juice, right? Well, that's all it is, right? It's a big old pipe stuck down in the earth, and what comes out of it is this crystal clear, life-giving, beautiful, untouched liquid we call water. And it's just there. I did nothing to do it. I just turned the handle up and it came out. And I drove home and I was going, that is incredible. Okay? Water, sunrises. You know, you could go on each one of these, and I'm hoping that something triggers your memory and you go, yeah, I remember a sunrise or a sunset that was, you just went, that is incredible, God, how you can paint so many colors like that, and you just go, wow. And it shocks you. Mountain peaks. Okay, standing on top of a mountain peak. When I was in Colorado, just being up on top of a mountain and smelling another sense, that alpine smell, and just going, wow, this is incredible. A canyon. Have you ever been to a canyon and walked up to the edge and you had a kind of an anticipation the first time? But when you walk up to it and you stand on the edge, it doesn't matter what your anticipation was. If it's the first time you've stepped up to the Grand Canyon or the Black Canyon of the Gunnison where I grew up in college, when you step up to a massive canyon, it just takes your breath away. And it's just one of those moments where you just glory. And it's crazy. Ocean waves, how they never stop. About every other year we go to South Carolina and I sit there on the sand and it always hits me at some point during our trip that those waves just keep coming in. And they keep coming in. They never stop. The energy. I don't know, you know, I know there's 1,000 scientific ways to explain it, but at the root of it, it's God. And it's amazing that these waves just continue to come. And I think, you know what? When I leave to go back to the beach house, nobody turns the button off. It just keeps, and right now as I'm talking, waves are just smashing and crashing into this coastline. Just wave after wave after wave, and it makes me go, it's incredible, you know? Snowflakes. I mean, you don't think about that very often, but this time of year, you know, there's no telling how many gatrillions of snowflakes have fallen over time, and they say that not one of them is the same. And you've seen now where they can take super high image pictures of these snowflakes that are unbelievable. We have nothing to do with that. And it just stops you. With our eyes, we see it and we go, that's incredible. Okay? Okay, what about other things? Let's just talk about a couple other things. The beauty of a rose. When you look at the rose petals, and you look at a rose up close sometime and just look at different phases of it blooming, and you just go, that's incredible. The texture of a rose leaf, unbelievable. Go to the zoo for the first time, take a kid to the zoo, and the lion deal where there's the huge glass thing and the lion is sitting up against the glass window, and you go up there and you just are looking in the eyes of this massive animal with these crystal clear eyes, and you think, God created that thing. That's incredible, this animal. Or what about, I noticed, is Eric still back there? I saw Eric back there. What about watching a God-gifted athlete? Man, I marvel because I come from a coaching background, but I remember the days when Eric used to run the football and play ball for us, and I'd just sit there and watch. And you watch a gifted athlete play sports effortlessly, and you know from their past habits, the training that they've gone through, but even outside of their training, just for Eric to jump out there and play ball is so natural and God-gifted for him. And I'd go, that is incredible. To see that the gift that he had received, that God had given him. Two last things on sight, and I'm going to go quicker through the other senses. But what about, and this, as I've worked a little bit with Wes Browning, most of you guys know Wes, but he's in construction. And he loves to work with natural products, not fake products. So he loves hardwood or wood, and he loves granite or stone. And so as I've worked with him, I've seen a lot of that stuff from time to time. And if you've ever driven by a granite store, you know, or shop, you know, where they have those huge slices of granite sitting out, and they're just slab after slab after slab, you know what I'm talking about? Man, I'm telling you guys, it when I see that, and I see that on a countertop, and I realize, you know what they did? Somebody just went whoosh, and cut it straight out of the mountain, pulled it in, and shined it up, and that was it. Nobody's put these little speckles and all this incredible beauty into this. Nobody's done that except God. And I couldn't do it if I mean, nobody could do it, create that beauty, except God. And not one of those slabs are the same. And it's incredible. And then you get into wood, the grain of a tree or wood, and the beauty that's in these trees, these exotic trees that God makes, and the beauty that we see with our sight. So sight. Hearing. What about a gifted musician? Has that ever brought you to tears? Have you ever been, and maybe it hasn't, you know, which, because I'm sure some of you have never been brought to tears by an athlete, you know. It's just kind of a weird thing for me, I guess, but, you know. But so, what about a pianist that, when you know these musicians that play by ear, whatever the instrument is, and some of you in here are probably like that. I'm so jealous of you, but when I hear it and I see it, it just makes me just, It makes me glory in what you're doing, okay? The beauty of a musician. Okay, what about the sound of something simple like this? If you've ever been camping and you get away from the world's busyness and you're sitting out there and you got a campfire going and you just close your eyes and you hear the crackling of a campfire. That sound, you know, is like, that's a beautiful sound. And then the campfire goes out, and you're camping next to a creek, and you hear the water going over the rocks all night long. And that sound, the sense of that. And then in the morning, you wake up, and you hear that all the little animals and insects and birds are in the middle of the night. The place comes alive. The forest comes alive with all these sounds, all these things that you hear, and you have nothing to do with it. No one had anything to do with it except God. He just put it all there for us and created it. Smelling. This is kind of weird, but the smell of good coffee in the morning. Man, I walk into my kitchen in the morning. Michelle normally is up and already had coffee going. Just a good smell. The sense of touch. What about touching a newborn baby's skin? Some of you moms know the baby's butt. Or that little cheek, when they rub up against your cheek, and their cheek against yours, and that skin is so soft and subtle and pure, and it's just like, that's got to be pretty close to the feel of hugging an angel, you know, just a little baby. That's why we call them little angels, right? Because they feel like that. And then tasting. This is a really cool one for me. What about the, and I say this often, I say, there is no doubt that there is God when you bite into a strawberry. A good strawberry. Man, you look at that thing and it's beautifully shaped. It's this rich red color. And not only that, you go, and the juice, and it's sweet. And I mean, it's like God made this and put billions of them all over our planet. Or a watermelon on a summer day, a good cut watermelon that tastes good, and you bite into it and you think, or a peach. I used to live in South Carolina. These fruits, these things we eat, the sense of taste that makes us glorify in God, or should, you know, at some point. So, there's those five senses. And then how about this one? This is really weird. Reading. It's like a combination of all of them, right? We read, which involves our sight, okay? But what if somebody's blind? They can take their fingers and read by Braille. And that's incredible. Well, what if they're blind and they have no way to feel, but their ears work? Somebody can read to them and they can hear that. And it's like reading is this sense that's weird because it includes all of them. But what does it do? It creates images in our mind. Sometimes I just awe in reading, be able to read, and when my eyes go across these lines, it creates a movie or pictures in my mind, and it's a different one for you than it is for me. If I read that the dog jumped over the fence, I see a certain dog jumping over a certain fence with a certain field and a certain backdrop. You see a different one. And it's incredible how that works. Or what about reading God's Word? When we read Scripture, and we read it by Braille, or we read it with our eyes, or we hear it preached, and man, these pictures, not only pictures, but just the Spirit of God working in your heart and just twisting things and recreating your heart, or listening to a sermon like last week. Last week I listened to Pastor Joe's sermon, and I sat there and I had tears coming down my face because God was working in my heart because of words that I was hearing and through His Spirit. And then I stood back there at the back of the church and was talking to him about it, and James comes walking back with tears pouring out of his eyes. And it's like, yes, this is good. God's working. I'm encouraged. You know, He's working in my life, in y'all's life, and through you. So, here's a couple thoughts to wrap up. Okay? We glorify in something that we find to be beautiful for what it is in itself. Its beauty, the beauty of whatever it is, compels us to love and adore it, to stand in awe of it, to have your imagination captured by it. You'll know you're close to glorifying or to glorying in something when that something or that someone is being adored, is being loved, is being marveled at. You're standing in awe of it. And here's the key. Not as a means to an end, but actually as the end itself. So those moments that we talked about in our senses, there's no weird motivation in that, is there? There's not like when you see something beautiful and you go, this is awesome. What's it cause you to do? What's your first reaction? You want to find somebody and show them about it, right? We'll find ourselves serving and or showing off or promoting the objects, that object, selflessly. In other words, not for what we can get out of it, but simply because our love and our appreciation for it. Right? There's nothing to gain in saying, you gotta come check out the sunset that's happening right now. There's nothing to go grab your spouse or whoever and point to it. There's nothing selfish about that. You're trying to show that off, right? To say, have you ever been to the Grand Canyon? And they say, no, you gotta go. And when you tell them and you promote it, there's nothing selfish about that. That's glorifying. John 17, 4 through 5, Jesus states, I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. Okay, so here's my thought that continues to get locked in. And Pastor Joe shared it, so he shared it somehow, and somehow this is what I heard for sure, is that you guys know from your study of the Bible that God is one God in three people. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And those three existed long before He created our known creation and us. It was those three persons in one God, the triune God. And they gloried on each other back and forth. They did what I just talked about and what you've thought about. They've went, look at this. Look at that. Come here and look at this. Holy Spirit, come over here and look at God. God, Jesus, come here. Look at the unbelievable. And they're just glorying around each other. And they're encouraging each other and building each other up for no other purpose other than selflessness adoration. Right? And so they're building all that up. And so imagine if they got to a point in all this, in Timothy Keller's book, he calls it the dance. Okay? But in all this, imagine if they said, we got to tell somebody about this. And they looked at each other and like, well, you know about it, and you know about it. This is glory. This is glory right here. We got to tell somebody about it. And what if I was created for that purpose? What if you were created for that purpose? What if we were created as an outflow of God wanting to share their triune glory with someone? And that's our purpose here. Well, I think that is our purpose. I think it's just it locks in further last week when Pastor was sharing that. Imagine you guys remember this old song, not old at all, but kind of old. The old Mercy Me song. I can only imagine. Listen to these words real quick, and this is the end here. I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine, surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I will do is forever, forever worship you. It's amazing how God works in our lives. So I'm encouraged by you guys, and I appreciate you. Let's just pray. And excited to hear what God has to share today. Father God, Lord, I just thank you so much, Father, for allowing us to grow. Lord, for giving us a new life. Father, we look forward with anticipation of this new creation, this new earth, and this new life. But Father, we're so thankful that even now, you've given us a new heart and a new spirit, and it's beginning to work its way out through the church and through the believers, Father. And this new life is so encouraging, Father. And Lord, we just thank you, we love you, and we look forward to our time together today in worship service. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.